I'm Lyle Dorsett. I'm sure you've gathered that. My subject is longing in the life and writing of C.S. Lewis. And by longing, I'm talking about what Lewis referred to as joy, the German word Sehnsucht. It's a longing, it's a deep longing. Joy, Lewis said, is an intense longing in the human soul for something that cannot be grasped here on earth. He put it this way in Mere Christianity. He said, "I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy. If I find this and no experience can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Well, I want to tell you something about how I first encountered the theme of longing and who I encountered it from. I'm a midlife convert to Christianity, and when I was teaching American history at the University of Denver, I had a young undergraduate student who was a history major in one of my classes, and he confronted me after class one day, and he said, "Prof, did I understand you to say that intelligent people are not Christians?" I said, "Lauren, I didn't say intelligent people are not Christians. I said thoughtful intelligent people are not Christians. Reflective intelligent people are not Christians." He said, "Oh, sir, I wanted to make sure I got that right." And then he said, "Sir, have you ever read any books by G.K. Chesterton or C.S. Lewis?" I said, "No, Lauren, I haven't." He said, "Well, you keep telling us all the time in class that you believe in a free trade of ideas." He said, "I think you owe it to yourself to be introduced to their worldview." Well, he was really a humble guy, but he was very direct with me. The next class period, a couple of days later, Lauren came and handed me a paperback copy of G.K. Chesterton's book titled Orthodoxy. I had never read it. I didn't know anything about Chesterton. And when he handed it to me, and by the way, I need to just add parenthetically, Lauren was, he was not well off financially. He wore faded blue jeans when they were not fashionable. His shirts were always clean, but they were frayed. Sometimes they even popped out at the elbow. Carried his lunch in a brown paper sack. And when he handed me that book and I said, "You know, I'm not a dilettante. I don't have time to borrow this. I won't get to it." He said, "Sir, I bought it for you. You keep it, read it at your leisure." Because Lauren made that gesture to me, I dropped it in my briefcase, took it home and read it that night. It's a short book. I did not understand most of that book when I read it, but there was a sentence that jumped out at me, and the sentence was this. Chesterton said, "After I became a Christian, I understood why I've always been homesick at home." He didn't say after I became a Christian, I was no longer homesick at home. He said, "After I became a Christian, I discovered why I've always been homesick at home." That sentence haunted me. I saw Lauren a few days later and I thanked him for the book. I said, you've trumped me on the brightness. This guy's a lot sharper than I am. I can't even understand all of his book, but I don't deduce your Trinity, your faith in Christ from this. He said, "Sir," he said, "may I buy your lunch next week at the Bluebird Cafe?" I said, "No, Lauren, you can't afford to buy my lunch, but I tell you what, I'll go to the Bluebird Cafe with you because I enjoy you. You're a breath of fresh air. I'll buy lunch, we go together." So we went. By the time I left, he'd taken me into the little book nook and he had talked me into buying three books by C.S. Lewis. I don't remember what all three were, but I remember two. One was Mere Christianity, where I encountered that phrase about, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is I was made for another world." I also bought Surprised by Joy, Surprised by Longing, if you will, Surprised by Sehnsucht. I know C.S. Lewis read widely. He read eclectically. He read, I've seen evidence of this, and when years ago I was at Wheaton and we bought his library, He read deeply of Evelyn Underhill. And one of the things Evelyn Underhill says in one of her books, it's her book Mysticism, she says this. She said, there are three deep cravings of the self. Three deep cravings of the self. Three great expressions of man's restlessness, which only mystic truth, quote, Christianity, can fully satisfy. What she lays out there is that there are three deep longings in every human soul, and increasingly I'm convinced this is what really truly classical literature is. Literature that transcends centuries, cultures. It's got people in these books that have one of these three great longings. It's the longing for the perfect place to live. A longing for home, if you will. The second longing is the longing for soul, a longing for that perfect mate. And the third is a deep down yearning and longing for purity. I don't think there's a man or woman who's ever lived that can't identify with at least one of those three longings. And these are longings that are part of what it is to be a human being. But these longings will not be met on this earth. My wife said, I heard her say to a group of people one time, she said, Lyle might have been bored nude, but he had a passport in one hand and a satchel in the other, because he's always been a traveling man and he's always been looking for that perfect place to live. After I became a Christian, I learned reading the scriptures, this world's not my home. Here we have no enduring city. I seek a city that is to come, the New Jerusalem. You see, all these longings ultimately come to fruition only in Jesus Christ. Our home is in glory in the New Jerusalem. Lewis understood these things. This is why his books are laden with longing. Whatever you read, whether you're really reading Till We Have Faces, whether you're reading the Narnian Chronicles, whether you're reading Mere Christianity, the Space Trilogy, whatever, you encounter longing for place, for person. The children in the Narnian Chronicles longing for Aslan. At his very name, their hearts fluttered, and they hadn't seen him yet. But the name Aslan stirred the depths of their souls. Longing to go back through that wardrobe to get to Narnia stirred them. You see, that longing for the perfect mate, that will not be found here. I've got a wife. I've been married for 43 years. My wife and I were 10 and 12 when we got married. We were very young, had to get permission. But I can tell you, I've got a great wife, but she can't meet all my needs. She's the perfect spouse for me. She knows, and we really had liberation when we learned we can't meet all of one another's needs. But only Jesus, our great spouse, can do that for us, our groom. And finally, purity. My goodness, Lewis's writings are replete with the truth that you can do anything and everything. You can commit works righteousness ad infinitum, and you'll still not get clean. Because only Jesus can wash away our sins. He's the one. He's the doorkeeper. He's the way, the truth, and the life to the New Jerusalem. He's our perfect soulmate. And he's the one that will wash us clean. I suggest to you, go back and reread Lewis. Dig into Lewis and look for this theme. That theme has transformed my whole worldview. And it's made me a lot happier guy. God bless you.